Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
You know, I think the key for their defense is you know, their pass rush and their get off and getting after the quarterback. I think that makes everything go for them. You know, makes secondary play more aggressive, lets those guys kind of sit on routes and do some different things.
Well, get off is always going to be a key to a game, and pass rush as well. Matt Ryan there talking about the matchup between the 49ers and the Falcons this Sunday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 4:25 kickoff. I really do think, and this is true of, 90% of football games, maybe more than that, the pass rush that does better in this game, whether it's the 49ers, who I'm inclined to believe has an advantage, or the Falcons, who had a great game last weekend, was the first time all season, maybe even ever, where Vic Beasley and Tack McKinley have had multiple sacks in the same game. Whichever one of those pass rushes impact the quarterbacks in these games more effectively and more consistently is going to win the game.
I think it goes back also to what Wes Durham told us in the lunch, which, by the way, you can check out on the radio.com app after the show and 929thegame.com.
Highly recommend. Pretty good.
Very good chat with him, but it's going to come down to who plays clean. Now, if the Niners' defense can cause the Falcons to play, pardon the expression, unclean, then that's obviously going to have a big factor. But I also think, too, that the one thing that we did see since the bye week, at least after the Saints game, is you're starting to see this Falcon defense take the football away from other teams. So I feel like whoever wins the turnover margin in this game, whether it's 49ers taking the ball away from the Falcons or vice versa, has a better chance to win on Sunday.
Now, I think you would agree with me on this. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. That has been true.
Yes.
It helps when you play Kyle Allen twice.
Yes.
Because I don't know how many interceptions he thrown against these guys in two games? Seven of them?
Yeah.
Six or seven of
Something
them?
Like
so that obviously helps those numbers, but The point is there, Will. If you get to the quarterback enough and make him uncomfortable, even whether it's Kyle Allen or whoever else, he's gonna make mistakes.
But it's not,
Jimmy Garoppolo will throw you the football.
It's not just about the quarterback. It's about being in position. Because
sure.
How many times did we see throughout the 6-game losing streak them just not being in position to make plays? You have to be in position to make plays and then also make them. It's a twofold property.
Midday show with Andy and Randy with you. Final hour for us here. Willie P, Will Pelagic filling in for Randy Mack today and tomorrow. We are about 40 minutes away from the AMA, and we've already gotten a pretty good one. Ryan Griffin wants to know, if you could guarantee your favorite team, whatever it is, whoever you consider to be your favorite team, would win the championship in their next season, but you had to cut off a finger or a toe, would you do so?
Yes.
That's a great question. I think I would, too. I remember vaguely, Brian can back me up on this, I think an Athens radio station or something did a poll like that last year after Georgia was eliminated after the SEC SEC championship game, if you would guarantee Georgia a championship and you had to cut off a finger, and it was like 75% yes.
No, it's, I, as somebody who has never seen any team that I've rooted for ever win, I'm willing to do anything at this point.
Yeah.
I don't need my pinky finger.
You don't.
I don't need my pinky toe.
How would they take it? That's the thing. Like, could you numb up? Is it like a paper cutter thing at work? Like, how do you do it? Is it like a lawnmower? You know what I mean? Like that matters.
A cleaver.
Yeah.
A cleaver.
Ugh. Yeah. I don't know if I can handle that. We'll get to some pain that was dealt with last night in just a few minutes because Steve Holman's a champion. Now, none of his appendages were chopped off, but
no. He
did play hurt and he did bleed on TV.
Took pain personally.
Yeah, he did. You can get your AMA questions in, by the way. It appears the internet is working again, so you can send them at TBM929 on Twitter. Any and all AMA questions. We've also got the text line going, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. Again, just getting back to this football game, we know that there are going to be injuries for the 49ers. We talked about some big injuries that they're dealing with. Richard Sherman may very well not be able to play in this game this weekend and a few others. Falcons dealing with injuries as well. And they've been dealing with injuries all season. But the two most obvious injuries coming into this game are Desmond Trufant on defense and Calvin Ridley on offense. That is going to give opportunities to young guys being able to step up in those spots and maybe get some more chances, some more throws, some more reps than they would otherwise get. But, man, that makes it tough. When you're going across the country to play against a talented team like that, you'd really like to have Calvin Ridley and Desmond Trufant.
Other part of this, too, that we were talking about kind of spinning it forward to 2020 in development, regardless of whether Dan Quinn is here in 2020 or not, you're going to have two things at the helm. An elite offensive mind to give you more output with this group than you have over the last couple of seasons. But you're also going to have an elite defensive mind to fix everything that seems to have just completely underperformed with this defense. And I almost wonder, which is the greater priority?
That's a great question. And I think, I guess we'll probably find out based on if Dan Quinn is not here, which coach they decide to go out and get.
And if you believe that defense is the greater priority, do you not think that that person is either at the head coaching position or in the defensive brain trust right now, which again stands to reason, you know, how does that alter or figure out your decision making? Because it could be something just as simple as, hey, we're blowing out the entire offensive staff.
Sure. Sure.
Because we feel like the offense is that broken and we need more.
My biases aside, because I'm always for defensive coaches. That's just how I want my program to be built. I think it's easier and a quicker path to success with the roster that they have, the guys, you know, that are going to be back, to get an offensive mind. Like, if you can get somebody in here who can do enough, whoever it would be, I don't know who it would be who's going to be available, somebody who we haven't heard of, some offensive coordinator who's the next genius, whatever. I think given the tools that you have on offense, you can get back to being one of the best offenses in the NFL more quickly. Then you can take this defense with the pieces that are going to be back to being a dominant defense in the NFL.
Normally, when a defensive hire doesn't work out, the conventional wisdom is to go with an offensive coach and vice versa. So it might be time to seesaw back that way.
That's what, yeah. And I think that if you hired a defensive coordinator, especially, what's the guy's name? Saleh?
Robert Saleh, yeah.
Yeah, from San Francisco. He's a name that will be brought up.
It's not going to make a lot of people happy.
People will balk at it. It's not sexy. It's also kind of back to the same well. Like, he was a Pete Carroll assistant coach, defensive mind, also bald.
Basically barking up the same tree you just barked
kind of
up.
Yeah, you kind of are. Or you go get an offensive mind who can hopefully maximize Matt Ryan for the final couple years of his prime, Julio Jones for the final couple years of his prime, try to score a whole bunch of points. And thing is, the closest you came with this group was when you were scoring a whole bunch of points.
I want Jim Harbaugh.
Harbaugh, that's like your A number one?
I want Jim Harbaugh.
Because of...
I feel like he can solve a lot of problems.
Like what?
Gets people excited.
Okay, because I think that happens. Like, he's a guy that is going to, no matter where you stand on Jim Harbaugh, elicit a reaction.
He will elicit a positive reaction, I think, from the fan base.
Some negative.
Played here, obviously, so he knows the...
He did?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Jim Harbaugh played for the Falcons? Huh. I'm sure you're right.
Yes. And he elicits a visceral type of scenario when it comes to him.
What was the last one? I'm sorry.
It makes you visceral. It makes you want to be a part of it.
Huh. I would be interested to see how that would be.
No, he did not play.
I would be interested to see how that was reacted to.
Who am I confusing that with? Maybe I'm confusing with Jeff George.
George, yeah. I don't
Maybe
know.
That was what it was.
I would love to watch that.
E-me.
I would love to watch that because people feel a very certain way about Jim Harbaugh. And there's a lot of people, because we're so passionate about college football here, there's a lot of people that only consider what he's done at Michigan.
Right.
And there's a lot of people around here that have said some not so kind things about Jim Harbaugh that maybe wouldn't be able to say those things anymore because he's involved with the Falcons organization.
Got my strong arm mid-90s quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mistake that anyone could have made.
It's okay.
And it was the early, anyway, it was a long time ago.
Who could remember? But my point about excitement still taken, and I also feel like he's just not a fit in college. I don't think, because again, it goes back to the whole, he doesn't like the whole kissing babies and the presidential type stuff he can do as a head coach.
You know what I love doing?
He just wants to coach football, man.
I love kissing babies. I do.
Really?
I do. I was hoping Jahi would hit the thing.
It's the same thing when we signed Brian McCann last year. It brings instant credibility. This guy's a world champion. He's a proven winner. You know, I remember him most from standing at third base watching him carve us up all of those years when he was with the Phillies. And, you know, and so I'm really excited about getting Cole in our mix.
It made it way weirder that there was that pause afterwards, so actually that worked out better. That's Brian Snitker talking about Cole Hamels, now a part of the Atlanta Braves. And, yeah, we all have fond memories of watching Cole Hamels as a Philadelphia Philly in 2009.
You know what I hate? The way he said that, he said, we're all excited about getting Cole in the mix. It just reminds me that it's Cole Hamels and not Garrett Cole.
Yeah, it would be nice if it was the other one. Now, that would cost him, what, $324 million?
Yeah.
Which, fine with me, I don't care. Not my money.
Yeah.
There's no salary cap. Pay people however much money you want to pay them. Obviously, we knew that was never going to happen. It would have been fun if it did. I never thought Cole Hamels was going to happen either.
I just don't like the fact that we feel like we had to dive in the Walmart DVD dumpster there. And it's just, I feel like, why are you trying to sell me on Cole Hamels? Why?
Yeah, because, I mean, let's analyze.
Should we be better than Cole Hamels?
I think so. But, like, analyze the thought process, right? Like, if you're trying to make an argument for it, I suppose the argument that they've made is veteran, lefty, similar to what you had last year with Dallas Keuchel in some ways, I guess. Similar to Max Fried in that maybe he'll help him develop because he was Max Fried 10 years ago.
What was Dallas Keuchel for you last year other than serviceable?
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty good down the stretch.
He was
an upgrade what you had.
He was an upgrade from what they had.
But not in the playoffs.
But what they had was three starters who started the year with a rotation and didn't finish the year with the team,
correct,
at least the big league level, or in some way, weren't even with the organization anymore.
Correct. Look, I'm with you.
Kevin Gossman's no longer in the room.
I don't particularly enjoy the Cole Hamels signing either, but I guess that's where they come from with the decision that they made. The problem I have is this.
Yeah.
It cost a lot of money. And if that prohibits you from going out and doing something else that you probably need more, because if we're talking about the things that you need the most, you could have sold me on the rotation of Soroka, Foltynewicz, Fried, grab a couple other young guys, whatever. Like, you could have sold me on that rotation with this bullpen if you went out and re-signed Josh Donaldson.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have the money to do this with the pitching staff because we re-signed Josh Donaldson. But if you don't do that, which we'll get to in about 10 minutes with what they may do at third base, then that's a real problem because you're not better by having Cole Hamels and not having Josh Donaldson, which is frustrating.
You know, I thought our guys were competing. We had a great start to the game. I thought it was one of our better starts to the game in terms of, you know, rallying after that first time out and taking the lead. And then it's a tough stretch at the end of the first quarter, tough stretch at the end of the second quarter.
Yeah. And there were a couple other tough stretches mixed in there, too. That's Lloyd Pierce, the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, kind of politely describing how bad things were last night in Chicago. Mm. They got blown off the court by the Chicago Bulls. Now, they were exhausted on the second half of a back-to-back, but whatever. Teams play those games sometimes.
Tells me more how important that Tuesday game was.
It was, yeah. To lose that Tuesday game the way that it went, and you should have won the game, would have been the first loss for the Heat at home this season. It was very frustrating, and that one was on Lloyd Pierce at the end. The Hawks just aren't a very good basketball team right now. And we knew that they weren't going to be a great team this year, somewhere mm-hmm. between 30 and 40 wins. But I didn't expect it to look the way that it's looked as often as it's looked like this in the early part of the season, because there's games where they're just uncompetitive, and I didn't think that there would be as many games like
that. My biggest question is what I asked earlier. What differently would Collins have brought to this stretch? Like, would it have been would it have been this bad? Or would it have always been this bad?
Here's another question. Which general manager do you trust to fix it the fastest, Travis Schlenk or Alex Anthopoulos? Now, the Braves, I don't know that they need fixing, but they need to get over the hump. The Hawks, at least somebody, told Trey they were going to get him some help. Which one of these two general managers is going to get it right and get it right first? We'll get into that coming up next, right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you on a Thursday, 20 minutes away from the AMA. Some good ones already coming in on Twitter, which we appreciate, at TBM929. You can also send them to the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929 or to Brian_Gebhardt on Twitter. Brian will come in 20 minutes and help us ask and answer all types of AMA questions. Now, Willie P is filling in for Randy McMichael today and tomorrow. Randy is on vacation, and he has checked in. He tweeted a picture of some beautiful mountains. So good for Randy in the mountains.
I love how he said he wasn't going to ski or snowboard, but he was going to snowmobile.
Which sounds awesome. Doesn't that sound fun? I don't think, of all the snow stuff I've done, I've never snowmobiled.
Why do I feel like the ski vacation is somewhat lost on a guy like Randy who's not skiing or snowboarding?
I don't know, man. I don't think it is. I mean, he's gonna enjoy other parts of the ski vacation.
Okay.
Like, you know, some will ski, some will snowboard, some would hike, some would enjoy the nature. Randy's gonna check out the ski lodges and see what their liquor selection's talking about.
Gotcha.
And I don't know, probably have an excellent time. But yeah, I don't know. I would love to see Randy ski. He said he used to ski when he was younger. Anyway, we'll get to the AMA questions coming up in 20 minutes. Before we do that, though, get back to something that we were chatting about earlier, Will, because I know that they're in different situations, the Hawks and the Braves, but I think there are similarities in that the general managers of those two teams, Travis Schlenk and Alex Anthopoulos, I think have a lot of control over what happens next. Now, I think it's more difficult for Travis Schlenk because it would mean trying to wheel and deal at the trade deadline. Who knows who's going to be available? Who knows how much you're going to get for your return in a trade? Who knows what you really even have to trade at this point? So for Schlenk, it's really, you know, hopefully you can win some basketball games this year and attract someone to want to come be a part of your team in free agency. For Anthopoulos, it's kind of like right now. Like, if you're a general manager and you've come into a situation like Anthopoulos has with just a bevy of young talent, some guys that were already in the majors that are good, and you've gone to the playoffs twice because of a lot to do with the inherited talent that you came into, I mean, like, this is the best thing that the best situation he could be in right now. Like, he's one or two moves that he has control over away from this team legitimately being a World Series contender, not just next year, but for the next couple of years. And I'm just interested to see what he does next because he's got a lot of options.
The barriers for success for Alex Anthopoulos, I think, are more easily manageable. And I believe that the only barrier he might have literally is money. And granted, that's a very important part of that, because the most important thing when it comes to Major League Baseball and success is how much and how do you spend your money. And, you know, when you're in an uncapped situation when it comes to their structure with their payrolls, is that, you know, it's not impossible to win a small market team. It's just you cannot take on bad contracts. And I think the biggest concern with regards to the Braves is that they do not want to give a bad contract or what is perceived as a bad contract on the back end to Josh Donaldson, and they would envision that as giving him a fourth year. Me personally, you need to set this team up for the best opportunity to win in 2020. And that means that your third baseman is not on this roster currently.
Yeah.
As in, you do not want Austin Riley as your opening day third baseman or Johan Camargo as your opening day third baseman. And that is the biggest concern for me, is that if either of those guys is your opening day third baseman for anything other than injury, you're going to be a problem. And because of that, I wonder just exactly how much the spending that they've already done is hampering other moves. And it's not the reason why I ultimately hate the Cole Hamels decision, but the reason why I hate the Cole Hamels decision is because literally it's status quo. You got an aging left-handed veteran pitcher to basically fill a spot in your rotation. You didn't go get a frontline guy. You didn't go get Madison Bumgarner. You didn't, you know, I know that Garrett Cole signed for stupid money. I'm not saying that they should have done that. But all I'm saying is quit trying to sell me on bargain basement moves. Go out and get a dude.
Yeah, and I don't know if you'd even call it bargain basement just because you spent so much money on it. But I know what you're saying, because the terms are short, so it seems less risky. And the thing that it does for me is it fits in with a pattern. It's what they've done, right? Alex Anthopoulos has signed free agents, but they've been like this. Like Josh Donaldson last year, it worked out great. It was fantastic. But if it wouldn't have, it was 1 year, right? So you could get out from underneath it. It was very low risk as far as the longevity of the contract, which is obviously what they wanted to do. So again, it worked, and that's good. And I'm trying to give a little leeway or equity with Alex Anthopoulos, because he has been successful and the team is good, but they still have yet to make a firm commitment to someone outside of the organization if that's something that you want to do to try to build your franchise.
And
right, you've got your guys signed that you had. You did a great job with Ozzie and Ronald Acuna in getting them to sign long-term deals for what will if they're not already, become team-friendly deals. It's just like you're so clearly one or two pieces away from taking that next step and doing things that other teams have done in off seasons to get them to that next level. And if you don't do it, it's almost, I mean, how do you explain it? Like, yeah, you can try to sell us on Austin Riley and Johan Camargo, but that's the situation that you have because you didn't do what you wanted to do. If you do what you want to do, you don't have to sell us on Chris Bryant. You don't have to sell us on Josh Donaldson. We've seen those guys be good before recently. Like, that's what I'm asking for. Because if you don't have an upgrade or the same guy at third base in Josh Donaldson, you've probably taken a step back. And there's no reason for you to take a step back because you don't have to.
And the other part of it that I want to make sure that people understand is that the biggest thing that will determine the success of Travis Schlenk is whether or not Trey Young can be that attractive guy that gets people to come play in Atlanta. And whether it's, you know, showcasing the city, showcasing, like we said earlier, with the, you know, the brand new Emory facility. People talk a lot about that facility being a big attractive thing for people to want to come in. But you have to be able to showcase something. And if that is, if that thing is Trey Young, that will be the biggest indicator of what kind of success Travis Schlenk can have. Because as we know in the NBA, it's not always about who gives you the best offer. It's about the stuff that comes with the offer. Who are you playing with? Can you win a championship? And also things like nightlife and the ability to live in a city that you want.
Right.
I know a lot of people in the NBA come here for a lot of things in the offseason, whether it's shoes, whether it's, you know, homes and things of that nature. Why can't
anything else?
Other things.
Oh, those things.
Other things.
I just wanted to see what the list, where the list was going.
There are other things of maybe a more adult variety. Mm-hmm. But be that as it may, you need to get people to want to come here. Is Trey Young enough to get people to want to come here?
Yeah, hopefully.
And spend something other than the summer months.
All that other stuff has existed.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Pretty Women didn't move to Atlanta 2 years ago. That's
right.
Happened forever.
That's what I'm saying. So
Trey is the difference.
I'm saying, can Trey be the difference?
And Travis Schlenk is responsible for Trey being here.
Yes.
Right? So if you believe that he is, and if he proves to be, that's credit to him. Clearly, these franchises are in different situations. The Hawks are still in, all right, hope Trey develops into that attractive superstar phase. Mm-hmm. And it looks like he is.
Yes.
Like, I'm not trying to discredit anything Trey's done. Trey's done a great job. And if he continues to get better, that makes sense to me. I'm hopeful that they do it quickly, whatever it is, if it's free agency this offseason, if it's trades at the trade deadline. Because we heard a report last week that said Trey was told that that was going to happen. And we've seen Trey visibly frustrated. Like, you can debate back and forth whether or not if you think Trey has earned the right to be frustrated and complain about the team not doing enough to help him. The only person that that matters to, though, is Trey. Like,
right.
Trey believes what he wants to believe about where his place is in the NBA. And it's getting more and more commonplace for NBA basketball players to become discontent with where they're at and demand to go someplace else. Like, Trey has seen guys do that recently.
Exactly.
And now, I'm not saying that's what he's going to do, but you don't want it to get to that point because it seems like you got your guy.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said earlier, Alex is more in control of what he, of determining, I believe, the future of the organization, unless he's being told by Liberty Media, look, you cannot spend any more money.
Sure.
And if that's the case, that's the shame, because there needs to be another move or two.
It is a shame because it would be frustrating that there's that limitation on a team that could potentially win a World Series in the next couple of years.
They said they were going to spend money.
But if it is the case, he still has other avenues. That's the thing about Alex Anthopoulos that's so interesting to me. Mm. He's got the guys that are bona fide superstars. Ronald Acuna is what we hope Trey Young becomes.
Right.
Freddie Freeman's one of the, when healthy, one of the best hitters in baseball, one of the best first basemen in baseball. If he can't spend more money, he also inherited an incredible amount of prospects, which he can leverage for Chris Bryant if you want Chris Bryant. We heard Nolan Arenado's available yesterday, and that would be prospects and also taking on a massive contract. But Nolan Arenado makes you immediately better.
But maybe there is the desire inside that room to, again, want to hold on. I mean, again, they showed a significant and drastic departure from character by the moves they made at the deadline. They didn't necessarily trade away any blue chips, but they got away some guys who were prospect depth for a very, very good farm system. Now, maybe will they go and maybe take a blue chip and say, hey, you know what? We're going to make a win now move and go and get Chris Bryant or Nolan Arenado or somebody of that nature. If they do that, then I would say you're going somewhere. But that's the biggest issue, is that it would take a significant departure from character for them to part with pieces of that nature in order to make a win-now move.
If you can't spend money, spend prospects, because you've got prospects. It's win-now, man. They're good enough to win now. They won 97 games last year. No offense to any of the guys that are in the minor leagues, but they did not matter as far as them winning 97 games last year. If you can use those, you have the pieces. Mm-hmm. Those guys didn't play a part in it.
Correct.
If you can move those guys to get another better piece and win more games, you got to do it. And if they don't,
I'm agreeing.
Man, that's going to be a tough
one. I agree with you, but a lot of people on this franchise, from fans to the front office, big prospect huggers.
Hey, Willie P, you can join the Hawks on Peachtree Night, presented by Planet Fitness, as they take on LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers Sunday, December 15th. Tickets are on sale now at Hawks.com/Peachtree.
LeBron James, headliner.
He's a headliner, just like Miles Turner. We'll come back and answer any questions that you may have. The AMA segment coming up next. Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line, 404-741-0929, or on Twitter at TBM929. You ask, we answer, right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything. Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, we wrap things up every single day with the AMA, brought to you by Right From The Heart and RightFromTheHeart.org, here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Randy Mack out today and tomorrow. He'll be back on Monday. Willie P., in for him today and tomorrow. I'm going to be out tomorrow as well. So thanks to Will for filling in and holding down the fort.
Pleasure.
Brian Gebhardt is with us now because Wendy is out as well. So Brian's going to facilitate the AMA questions. And if I'm correct, Brian, you had some pretty good ones from the text line.
Had some great ones from the text line, but I'm going to start off with this one, which seemed to light up some eyes in the break. And that's, did you guys ever do anything weird in a sporting event, like you were playing in, to get under your opponent's skin?
Oh, I totally...
Yes.
I totally tackled a guy. Tackled the guy who was literally scoring at will in the first half, and I came out in the second half after my father said, you have to take him out, and I literally full tackled him.
Are we talking? So we're talking hoops?
Hoops.
Okay.
Basketball.
I literally
tackled him on the basketball floor.
All right, so...
He did not make a single basket rest of the game.
So senior year in soccer, me and my buddy Sam, like my best friend, would tell the best player or best players on the opposing team that their shorts look nice on them and see how they reacted to that. Like, wow, those shorts look great on you, man. Like, really.
It's awesome.
Like, really good. And then progressively get weirder and see if, like, because you can tell if someone cares about that. Because very quickly.
You'll find out.
You'll
right
find
away.
Out. And if they did. Oh, man. The weird stuff that we would say that I can't say it on the air, but the weird. Oh, yeah. It's a very easy way to get someone out of their game. In golf, what we would do is we had some friends who, female friends, are really attractive, and you're allowed to follow the group or whatever. So me and my buddy Jackson would oftentimes play in the same group, and we had some really good-looking friends that were girls. They would come dressed, I mean, appropriately for public, but, you know, you could tell that they were
dressed the way they...
And they would just follow us and cheer us on. And we played against some really good golfers, and guys had some of their worst days ever because of that.
Very nice.
It was highly effective.
Those are all great things. I went next level senior year in high school because Facebook had just come out. So I played offensive line and defensive lineman. I would find their profile and figure out if they had a girlfriend or what their mom's name was or something along those lines. So I would start dropping those first names right before the snap. I'd be like, hey, how's Katie doing?
So I don't think I've ever told this story, but that's hilarious. That's a brilliant thing to do. I don't think I've ever told this story. My buddy, again, Jackson, when he played basketball in college, his like D3 school or NIII school, whatever he played for, played Gonzaga in a preseason game. And we all went over to the kennel to watch him play Gonzaga, and it was when MySpace was out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think I was like his number one or number two buddy on MySpace. You know how you'd rank him? You'd go up top eight. I was like number one or number two. And the Gonzaga student section, when he was shooting free throws, started chanting my name. And it was the most surreal thing in the world. He missed both free throws because he was laughing. Like, he found me in the crowd. He was like, what are these guys? Like, what is this? It was so good from the Gonzaga fans.
The Antlers, the student section of Mizzou, used to always just find the phone number to the hotel the team was staying at, the opposing team would stay at. We would just call those guys random hours of the night. Legendary.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Worst injury you ever had?
I broke my arm playing basketball, going up for a rebound.
I got hit by a car and broke my wrist, but it was worth it.
That's it? Just broken wrist?
Broken wrist. Yeah, I've always pretty good. I've been very lucky. We got hit by a drunk driver, which was terrifying and awful, but everyone's okay. We got a bunch of money from it.
Second place would be we used to do these radio remotes where we had to do the fence post type things to basically ensure a perimeter of people so people couldn't leave with alcohol. And one of those fence post things ended up hitting me in the head.
Ouch. Let me read this one from Twitter. How does your significant other feel about strip clubs? Would an argument happen if you went, or would they tag along? My wife is generally, pro whatever.
Yes.
She's not anti-strip club. I think if I just went to one and did not tell her that that's what was happening and tried to keep it a secret, mm-hmm. I think the secret would be more problematic than anything else.
Openness.
Yeah, exactly. Just mm-hmm. be honest. Because me and Jarvis used to be a security guard at Magic City. Mm-hmm. So Jarvis has some good connections over there, and he was able to get us treated well when we went. But we went. I cleared it with the boss, but she said, yeah, go have fun. Like, don't do anything stupid, obviously. We had an amazing night. Us, 21 Savage, it was great.
I've dated both types, the ones who enjoy it.
He was there.
I've dated both types, the ones who enjoy it and the ones who don't enjoy it. The biggest fault is just make sure that the person who's enjoying it isn't enjoying it too much.
Oh. Is there a story there?
As in enjoying it more than... say they enjoy their time with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, is there a story there?
Oh, there is a story there. From,
I didn't
not,
girl,
from, not from me, but from a friend of mine who ended up basically in under.
He lost his girlfriend to a stripper.
I wouldn't say lost his girlfriend to a stripper, but lost his girlfriend because of feelings she might have developed for a stripper.
For one specific person?
Well, just the fact that she basically it uncovered some things.
Get it out there, Will.
I'm trying to figure out the best PG way to say it. It uncovered some feelings that she didn't know she had.
Oh, okay.
So, gotcha. Okay.
I gotcha. I've been there. The first girl I ever dated, she dated a woman for 5 years afterwards.
Right.
And then she dated a man after that. And then for a while, she dated a couple.
I was trying to figure out.
She was into all of it.
Versatility.
Trying to find out the best PG way. I'm not going to say she fell for a stripper, but she...
What's wrong with that?
Women,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
T-Pain fell in love with a stripper one time.
I knew that was going to be referenced.
She rolled it. She rolled it.
You can only choose one, Christmas Vacation or Home Alone.
Home Alone 2.
That was not an option.
No, I actually have in parentheses Home Alone 1 or 2. Because you were the one who brought up the other day Home Alone 1 or 2. You could argue which one's better,
Home Alone
right?
2 is better than Home Alone 1.
Yeah.
That should be a universally accepted opinion.
I think they're both really good. I can respect that opinion. I think Home Alone 2 is really, really good.
Home Alone 2 is amazing.
I go with Christmas Vacation. Christmas Vacation is like legendarily funny. It's funny outside of Christmas. Like, it's a Christmas movie. This is a funny damn movie. Same thing with Elf. That's just a funny movie. That's a good comedy movie.
Not a big Elf fan.
Oh,
really?
Man.
Really? You don't like Elf?
Not a big Elf.
Oh, man. Elf is, I don't know. That's a good one.
Christmas Vacation, they're showing it in three different theaters in Georgia that they're actually showing Christmas Vacation this winter season. And the tickets are only $5, so check that out.
Got to do it. I think we missed it, though.
Oh, it's already gone?
I think it happened.
Oh, well, don't do that then.
Yeah, well, hopefully you did it, and hopefully you enjoyed it.
And just watch it at home.
Yeah.
Would Kevin McAllister's parents get arrested today?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Home Alone 2 would have never happened because he wouldn't have got left home alone the second time because those people would have been in jail. And they should have got arrested then. They left him two different places twice.
Cell phones would have certainly fixed the Kevin McAllister situation.
The movie would have been over in 5 minutes. Oh, God, I'll get off the plane and I'll come get you right now. I'm so sorry. That's awful. Also, I saw this thing yesterday. I don't know why I watched this. I don't have a whole lot to do. Somebody did like a scientific breakdown of what would happen in reality if you did some of those pranks. Like the paint can to the face would probably kill you. And if it didn't, the crowbar to the sternum would. Like, they would have been dead way before the end of that movie.
Blowtorch on the head in Home Alone 2?
Dead.
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 Very much dead.
Yeah, they would have been so dead so many times.
Bigger ripoff.
So Kevin McAllister would have been a murderer. That's a way different twist to the movie.
Got dark.
There's time for a third or fourth one,
yeah,
right? They
had
a third one. There needs
like
to be a fourth
Kevin
one,
Kevin getting out of jail after serving 40 years.
We need the reboot with Kevin as a parent.
He murdered two men in cold blood using a paint can and some marbles.
bigger ripoff. Handling fees for concerts or sport tickets or baggage fees from airlines?
Baggage fees from airlines. They got that whole thing completely wrong. You should pay people... Or people should have to pay to carry on luggage. You should be you should basically be able to to check whatever you want.
Hmm.
And if you want to carry on luggage, you should have to pay. It should be reversed.
That's an interesting theory.
I feel like they got that whole thing wrong because they realized the reason they started doing this is because the airline companies realized we need to start making money because we're losing so much money. So they all go, we'll just charge people for checking bags. No. You should have charged people for taking carry-ons because it takes so much time to put your carry-on in the upper head compartment. No, it's much easier to check a bag. You should honestly let people carry, let people check bags. I'm very passionate on this.
Yeah, clearly. Which moody girl would you rather have dated, Daria or Darlene from Roseanne?
Daria, hands down.
Yeah, I kind of dated a girl like Daria one time. I had a thing for moody girls. I don't know why.
Darlene is like, you know, the
moody emo girl.
Was like the moody emo girl.
I like that.
Yeah.
Last one for you guys. Who takes more vacations, Randy Mack, Mike Bell, or Craig?
Craig, hands down. And they get paid for by others.
Yeah.
Oh, where'd T-Pain go? There he is. All right, we'll come back. We'll give you our takeaway of the day. Hand off to Dukes of Bell as well, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.